This morning I want to look at one of the sermons that the Apostle Paul spoke as he was in Pisidian Antioch. We're going to look at Paul's approach at sharing the gospel, and maybe we could get some ideas this morning on how to share our faith. Let's turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 13, and this morning I'm not going to complete the chapter in the sense of reading it, but we're going to complete it in the sense of moving in 2 weeks. We'll be looking at chapter 14. It says in verse 13, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga in Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. From Perga, they went on to Pisidian Antioch. On the Sabbath, they entered the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent word to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak." Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon our ears. Anoint our ears to hear what you're saying to us today. And may we learn how faithfully to share what we believe. Amen. When Paul and Barnabas arrived at Antioch, they followed the practice that they usually followed, and they first went to the synagogue. Now, the reason they were going to the synagogue is really simple. First, this is where they would find people who were seeking God. So they went into the synagogue, as they would, and as they arrived, they would be noticed as teachers, and many times the teachers were given opportunity to share with the entire group. A second reason, though, is Paul and Barnabas were there because they wanted the gospel to be available to their fellow Jews. And this is why they would go to the synagogue. Now, in Paul's message, there's one lesson that we need to learn and learn it well, and that is this. God is always the initiator. God is always the initiator. When asked to speak, Paul, when he was asked to speak, it says he stood up, and in verses 16 to 22, Paul recounts God's dealings with the nation of Israel. It's possible here that Paul, his purpose in recounting the familiar history was to let these men know that he was aware of the history of the Jews. And it was probably Paul's way of identifying with his audience so he could build common ground with them. Now, this is a very good principle for us to learn and live by. Before people will listen to what you have to say, they need to feel that you have listened to them. You need to know where they are so you can identify with that listener. Paul understood the proud history of the people in the synagogues of the Jews. So I want you to hear just a few of Paul's words in verses 17 to 23. And I'm just going to read what I've highlighted this morning on here. But in verse 17 he says this, "The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper. He led them out of that country. He endured their conduct. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance." Verse 20, "God gave them judges." Verse 21, "He gave them Saul." Goes on, "He made David their king. He testified concerning him." And verse 23, the last one, "God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus as he promised." Now, do you see a common thread throughout this message? God is the initiator. Everything God has done, God is seeking us. We are not the ones seeking him. This is an important point as we share Christ in the world. Many people have a mistaken idea. They believe that we have to find God. God is not hiding. God has gone to great extents to make himself known to us. He has done great things. He's done great works. He has given us prophets. He has sent us his scripture. He has given us Jesus. God wants to be known. There are also many who believe, though, they must buy God's favor with their good works. The majority of the opinion in our culture is that way today. This is also the thought of those that were in the synagogue that day that were sitting there. That's why later in this passage, Paul says in Acts 13 and verse 39, he says this, "Everyone who believes in Him is declared right with God, someone or something the law of Moses could never do." People today seem to believe that if they find maybe the right combination of maybe the way I act or the way I behave, I get God to like me. God doesn't just like you, He loves you. But people believe if I can pray the right way, or maybe I can say the right words, or I'd be good enough, and maybe somehow I will obtain salvation or healing or deliverance in my life. Unfortunately, there are too many religious people that want to treat God, though, like a snack dispenser. Thinking, well, I got to choose what God wants for me, and then somehow I got to pay for it. God is not a snack machine. He is a Savior. He is a Redeemer. He is a Deliverer. And He is a Friend. God doesn't have to be persuaded to bless us. He desires to bless you in every aspect of your life. He's not the one that needs convincing. We are. Paul here is laying out a foundation, though, as he preaches, of who God is and what He's done. And we must do the same when we witness. We must be alert to the fact that most people we talk to about the gospel are going to be people who think they must do something. They need to understand, though, that salvation comes by grace and grace alone. Somehow we've got to let them know. They must be definitely know that it's Christ alone who's the Redeemer. Paul moves from the foundation into the core of the message. And Paul points out that God brought Jesus out of the line of David. Jesus was the one the people in the synagogues that you've been waiting for. He's the one that John the Baptist pointed to. Jesus is the one everybody has been waiting for. And you know what? That's the way we need to present the gospel. Many people don't know, but we must begin helping people to see that Jesus is the one they've been looking for all their lives. Each of us is looking for meaning or some purpose in our life. Every one of us wants to somehow connect with our purpose. Your purpose is in God Almighty, and that's why you need to connect to Him. Every one of us would like a new beginning and escape the pain of our past. That's what God offers. You want to be forgiven? That's what He offers. We would like to know if there's someone who really, really knows us, who knows our thoughts, our schemes, our planning, our foolishness, the sins of our lives, but is still wanting to love us no matter what. That is God. This is what Jesus does for us. How does Jesus do this? He does it by His death on the cross. His death was not an accident. When the Jewish leaders wanted to get Jesus out of the way, they were really just fulfilling the plan of God. Jesus died willingly. And He died purposefully. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. But Jesus paid the price for the sin we committed. Now, there are some who will say there's other ways to get to God. Some will say it's through Muhammad or Buddha or Joseph Smith or some other way. But I want you to know none of them died for your sins. Why do we believe the death of Jesus was different from any other? First, we believe Jesus lived a sinless life and therefore He did not have to die for His own sin. He was the only one qualified to be a Savior. And second, He didn't stay in the grave like all the others. He came out of that grave, and He's alive, and He lives forevermore. See, as we share our faith with people, we need to hit on the main facts. Jesus came as a part of God's plan to meet our greatest need, a Savior. He died as a payment for our sin. He rose again, proving that the payment was enough and that new life has been granted to us also. We've been made alive in Christ. Now, you need to know, when you step out these doors, this is a very unpopular message in our world. But it's one we must proclaim. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." Notice what this text tells us. It tells us there is only one way to be saved, and it's through Jesus. We cannot be saved through another religion. We cannot be saved through good works. Now, many find this message offensive. I don't want our culture to be offended by it. But you need to remember that we did not set the terms for salvation. God did. The salvation is not of our doing. It is God's doing. We are just recipients of an undeserved grace. God is the initiator of it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 8 to 10 says this, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, through the good news." That's my title this morning, Good News. It's good news. Jesus gave his life for all mankind. The offer of salvation is not restricted to only a few. Anyone who puts their trust in the Lord will be saved. This includes the Muslim, the Jew, the Hindu, the New Ager, or the pagan. Whoever may receive the grace of God. Let me read it to you from the Message. John 3:16 that you're familiar with, but it says it this way. "This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and a lasting life." God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust Him has long since been under the death penalty without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. There's one way to salvation. That one way is through Jesus. And you do not need to make an excuse for it. The Word of God declares in John 14:6, Jesus Himself put it this way. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, trusting Christ through faith is how we receive that wonderful gift. Ephesians 2:8 helps us. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." If God is trying to reach out to us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how do we receive the gift? Paul says, just believe it by faith. We must not only believe the facts about Jesus and the prophecies that were fulfilled and His sacrificial death and maybe His world-changing resurrection, but we have to believe He did it for me. He did it for you, for your sin, to restore your relationship with Him. Paul wants these men in this synagogue to know the way of salvation is not in rules and regulations, but it's grace. It's the grace of God offered through Jesus Christ. If these men truly wanted to know God and to know forgiveness and to know new life, they had to place their trust and their confidence in Jesus. They needed to believe that He was the Savior. They needed to believe that Jesus meant what He said. Jesus, listen, tells us, count the cost before you become a believer. Did you know that? I want you to hear it in Luke 14, verse 27. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Verse 28. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? This is what Paul does. He warns people that the choice is to follow Christ or go your own way. To follow Christ, though, leads to eternal life. To go your own way means to face wrath and the judgment of God. Those are the choices, folks. There's only two. There's no middle ground. It's heaven or hell, life or death. Matthew 10:28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, that free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, even with the truth of God's word, though, people still rebel against it. They proclaim, if God is loving, why would He send anybody to hell? The simple answer is this: because that's what they've chosen. Listen to C.S. Lewis. He states it this way. In the end, there will only be two types of people. There will be those who say to the Lord, Thy will be done. And those to whom the Lord says, Thy will be done. The person who refuses God's offer of salvation gets what they've chosen. Listen to it out of the Message again in Romans 5, 18 and 19. It says it this way. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong and got us all this trouble with, or got us in all this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, He got us into life. One man said no to God and put many in the wrong, but one man said yes to God and put many in the right. Romans 6 goes on, Paul talks and says this, could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin-miserable life. No longer it sends every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in His life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, He took sin down with Him. But alive, He brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue. And you hang on to every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. As you share the gospel, you need to know there'll be many who want to know more about Jesus. It may surprise you that there are really a few who really understand the message of grace. We think it's common knowledge because that's what we surround ourselves with. But it's not common knowledge. Most people feel the church is only about morality. We are. But they don't know anything about the grace of God. And that's the message we must proclaim. In fact, God loves us so deeply that He provided a way for us to be forgiven. And He's made a way for us to be restored in relationship with Him. And that way is through Jesus. Now, as you share the message, you'll also find people who will not believe. There'll be some who will. In verse 48, we find some of the Gentiles who believe. But there'll be others who do not believe. And like in verse 50, and they stirred up trouble. They were threatened by the message. They were offended by the notion of grace. They felt they needed to get rid of Paul and Barnabas. And they expelled them from the region. Now, in these cases, you need to remember this. People are not rejecting us. They are rejecting Jesus. Like Paul and Barnabas, at the end of this chapter, we many times will have to do what they did. And that is just to shake the dust from your feet and move on. Because many times, the enemy will bog us down into arguments and all kinds of things that the Bible says don't get involved with it. All you have to do is tell them the truth. Tell them the good news. Jesus died for us, and you need to receive His grace. This morning, I want this to become personal to you. We have been called not just to be saved from sin, but now to be those who proclaim the message of the gospel, the good news. There's enough bad news, all you have to do is turn on the TV. And there's enough bad news, people are wanting some good news today. You have it. Oh, some will receive it, and some won't. But that's not your choice. God is the initiator. God will begin to open doors for you. He'll open ways for you. The key is for us not to miss it. The way that was open for them is they sent them word and said, would you talk to us? Is there something you want to encourage us with? Oh, some of those same ones later kicked them out. But God will open the door, and there were some who believed. Your job is not to save the world. Your job is just to tell them. I know there's many times we get so personally involved, we feel like I'm not doing a good job. I feel like I'm not doing well enough in explaining it or this or that. God never said, you have to be great at it. He said, just tell them. And the biggest thing you can tell them is what the Lord has done in your life. Tell them how He's changed you. Somehow we need to get to a place, first and foremost today, and I don't know where everyone is in this room, but you need to know, and each week we talk about Jesus. He is our life. That is why we gather together. But if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know He does love you. And it doesn't matter what your past is. God doesn't look at your past. God looks at your future. He wants to initiate something new in your life. He wants to initiate what Christ did on the cross and initiate it by grace in your life. All you have to do is respond to it. So in this room this morning, I'm going to kind of be bold here. I'm not going to ask you to close your eyes this morning. At our New Year's Eve with the youth, I did it this way. And I believe we have to come to decisions in our life where we're not ashamed of the gospel. So this morning, if you need Christ in your life, now for you it may be that you've never heard the truth before. The truth is just really simply this. There is a God. And God sent His one and only Son named Jesus into the world. Jesus lived a sinless life so He could pay for our sin. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus didn't sin. And He was put on a cross and He became a sacrifice in our place. He became my substitute. He died for me. He died for you. And this morning, if you will believe that God is, and that He sent His Son, He died on the cross, and He rose again, the Bible says you will be saved. by faith. He said, well, I can't see it. I see the symbol, but that happened so long ago. Folks, I can only tell you that God has written this on your heart. That's why the Holy Spirit is already dealing with you. That's why the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you in your life. You say, is that what it is? It's a gentle voice. It's not harsh. He's saying, come home. You belong to me. And this morning, you can respond to it. Maybe you've known the gospel. Maybe you've played the game of church all your life. But today is the day. What a great way to continue to start off 2008. Say, it's this year I come to the Lord. Maybe in your life is the third part. Maybe you've known the Lord, but you've drifted. And you feel distant from Him today. And this morning, you have sent simply the Holy Spirit welcoming you back. You need to know His grace is enough. Don't let the enemy lie to you, because he is the father of lies. Don't let him lie to you today. Jesus spoke the truth. And he said, my grace is sufficient. So you just need to believe that today. If you're in this place, I'm going to ask you to make a bold stand today. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you just to stand up where you are. And we're going to pray with you. We're just going to stand with you. We're going to believe with you, because we want to help you in this decision. So all across this room, from my left to my right and the balcony, on the count of three, I want you to stand. One, you're thinking about it. Two, you need to make this and be bold about it. Ready? Three, make that stand today. Say, I want Christ to be part of my life. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Yes, right there in the balcony. Anybody else? God bless you. Anyone else? I want you to know this morning, the Bible tells us that if you'll stand for Him, it says God will stand for you. That's what His Word says. And because you're surrendering today, He will be your rear guard, and He'll also go ahead of you. And He'll make your way, your paths clear, because that's His promises to you. So this morning, with this individual, I want you to just pray with me, all of us together. Ready? Say, Heavenly Father, I believe today that You are, and that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that He died on a cross for me, and I believe He rose again. And I ask You to forgive me of my sin, come into my life, fill me with Your Holy Spirit, and use me to tell the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We celebrate with you today. We want to help you. We want you to grow in the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, I would love to meet you. I'll be here. If you want to come down, I'd love to meet you and help you grow in your walk with the Lord. To the rest of you this morning, I pray that your decision is, I already serve the Lord. Now let me tell you another side to this today. Because I'm glad that we all sit here and you've made that decision. But you know what? Next week, there ought to be more than just one sitting in this place that needs Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, you've got to go out and tell somebody. If you're leaving it all up to me, it won't happen. I can't reach Northville and Livonia and all the surrounding areas. We've been called as the body of Christ to do the work of the kingdom. So let's link together. And me and my home and my neighborhood, you and your home and your neighborhood, you proclaim the truth. You tell the good news. You let others know Christ lives. He's a Savior. And just like we gathered here this morning, don't forget this, folks. Tonight, don't let the TV rob you if there's times that you need to spend with the Lord. Tomorrow, don't let work and other circumstances rob you of your time with the Lord. Spend time with Him. He loves to spend time with you. And if you'll really listen, I promise you, He will speak. He will speak to you. It may not be audible, but He'll speak to your heart. He'll begin to speak to your life and let you know how to live for Him and how to proclaim the good news. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part. Don't lean to your own way of thinking. I don't know about you, I got some crazy thoughts at times. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to trust my way, but I can follow His path. It's clear, it's right, and it's full of the promises of the Lord. You say, well, my life's not been all that good. Would you spend time with Him? Would you honor His Word? You say, well, I don't know His Word. Get in His Word. Get in a Wednesday night class. Grow in the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray over this congregation as we step out of this place that we would really be the ambassadors of Christ. And God, I also ask You to empower us by the Holy Spirit to tell the good news. Lord, I pray that You would also be the defender to go before us. And God, I also pray that You would destroy the enemy's plans that he's schemed against us and that he's laid out there as traps. God, open our eyes that we might see. And Lord, thank You for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, may we find support and help within the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and have a Jesus-filled week.